Today on the Cooligans, we are recapping the Champions League season and also looking forward, giving our perspective on some of the biggest clubs in Champions League. What did they fix? What do they need to do right for the next season?
We know it all. We also know what happened at Club World Cup, the $10 million game. We talk about it. LA Galaxy finally win a game and Inter Miami looking really good. That and Rapido reactions. Wow, can't wait for today's episode. So I was at a wedding this weekend, as you saw on the live.
That's right.
It was in a campground in eastern Pennsylvania. It's over in the Poconos.
Mm-hmm.
This is great. Not my vibe. You know, I'm much more of a air conditioning type guy.
I did see, I was mentioning on the live, I saw your Instagram story. You were walking through the woods. In Air Force Ones, is that what it was?
All by Air Force Ones.
I mean, but that's on you. That's ridiculous.
I don't have any other shoes that belong in the woods. I don't understand. I was literally thinking, like, what do I do? I don't know what. I don't have any shoes.
Assume you hear Eastern Pennsylvania, you might get a little dirty.
Yeah, but what am I? So I took an older pair of Air Force Ones. I was like, these are pre-cooked. These are warming. Right. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, might as well just cook them. And they did get cooked. They're done. But I didn't know what else to do. So I was like, I'm not going to bring one of my nicer sneakers. I don't have like boots that aren't street boots. You know what I mean? I don't have like, I don't have woods shoes, you know?
Not an outdoorsy guy. I'm not an outdoorsy guy.
Yeah. I buy things that should be used in the outdoors, but I wear them in the street.
Right.
That's what they're for.
I got at least like a pair of Teva, you know those?
If you find me in those. that's an alert, you know?
That's for like outdoor camping stuff.
You know how like they're having bars, if a woman feels unsafe, she can ask for Angela? If you see a photo of me and Tevas, that's me telling you I am unsafe in the situation I'm in.
I've been kidnapped. I'm part of some human trafficking ring.
100%. I'm being used as a drug mule, and I do not want to be in this. So cut my stomach open before these condoms burst.
Right.
The reason I bring this up is, you know, Mike Albanese, very funny comedian, owns a comedy podcast studio not far from us.
Yeah.
This man is 6'4", 320 pounds, a lot of muscle.
Doesn't 320? That's hard to believe. He does not look like he's 320.
He has lost some weight. He might be down to 300.
Okay,
wow. He's a mountain of a human being.
When I think of a 300-pound person, I don't think of Mike Albanese.
He doesn't. But he's not like sloppy. He's like
not at all.
He looks like how Shaq and Charles Barkley look, like retired athlete. Was a big man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got his wife put it in her speech. He has bouncer body.
Yeah, yeah.
If he stands in front of a bar, he doesn't have to say anything, people start showing him IDs. He's a big man, okay? So his wife that he was marrying is part Jewish. So all of a sudden they start the horror.
Yeah, yeah.
She's tiny. She's 5'5", maybe 100 pounds. She jumps in a chair. I'm thinking, okay, good.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a chair closer to me. And I see this big man walking towards it. And everyone's looking around. He has a cousin named Joey. He's a big guy. He went fishing in the lake. Caught 15 fish in like 2 hours.
Wow.
I'm like, you are a pro. He goes, you guys going fishing? I'm like, there's nothing left. You've decimated an entire family. you took all the fish out of the lake. What are you talking about?
Right.
And he goes, nah, come on, I'll show you guys. I'm like, I don't need to learn this skill. I'm fine. I'm not getting on a boat with you, you know? He's looking. He's a big guy. He looks like a farmhand. You know what I mean?
Sure.
This guy is like cracking his neck. He's rolling his shoulders. He's balling his fist. He's like, breathing, he's preparing himself. He's like, I know. I'm one of the biggest guys here that's not Mike. I'm going to have to be one of the people picking him up.
Of course.
So he makes eye contact with me, and I'm not doing any of those things. I'm giving him the, no, dude. L5S1, bro, your boy got a bad back. Why is the chair near me? People are not looking at me like I'm one of the people that need to lift this man.
You look like a strong man.
I'm not.
You look like one.
If I'm 300, which I'm not, thank God. If I am, it's the other 300 you were thinking about when you heard 300. Right. You know what I mean? I'm like, there's no muscle mass here.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, dude, there's no way I can lift this man. And I've done the horror with lighter people. And after about 4 or 5 times of like lifting this person.
I did the horror at my wedding. Did you pick me
up? I did. Okay. You're one of the examples I'm about to use. After about 4 or 5, I'm like, I'm about to drop my boy. Because I had the front, which is the dangerous part. Yeah. That's where you fall off the chair.
Mm-hmm.
The back, you can lean a little. You cannot lean forward. So I'm freaking out in my head. I'm like, I'm looking around. It's a bunch of tiny people near me. I'm like, all of you need to. I'm thinking like, this is crazy. And then he says, and this is one of the coolest things. Shout out, they threw an incredible. They did it their own way.
Yeah.
Their wedding. He goes, no, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. Being picked up is one of my biggest fears. Everyone's like, oh, come on, come on. He's like, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. He's like, I'm not doing it. He goes, the only way I'm going to do it is. And they played the, there's a wrestler that walks in with glass breaking. I've heard the sound.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Okay, yes. Oh, yeah, yeah. The beers. Dun,
dun, dun. Yeah, yeah.
All right. That sound plays. He surprised everyone and got six local wrestlers to walk out of the kitchen in their wrestling outfits. Yes,
yes. I saw this. It was posted on Instagram.
They're beefcakes, these guys. Six of them surrounded him. Threw him in the chair. This was all act out, obviously. Mm-hmm. But this is like how cool Mike and Becca are, by the way.
Yeah.
But they surprised and they all go to lift him up. They even had trouble, might I add. Okay? I want everyone to know.
The strongest of us. Yes. The strongest man.
People hired specifically. And I'll finish here. At the end, there's a big balcony, right? And there's an outdoor area. Those guys were smoking cigarettes, hands shaking a little bit. And I was like, this is the toughest test they've ever faced. And these guys jump off of ladders.
That's amazing. Yeah, I saw the video on Instagram, your Instagram story. And I thought, because I didn't think they were wrestlers. I thought they were like, I thought it was like a, because it's like Pride Month. They were all dressed like in goofy kind right. of like, so I'm like, shout out to Becca and Mike. Yo,
they had the most pride wedding. No. It wasn't.
I love that too. No, it was great. That's cool. All right.
It was one of the coolest weddings I've ever been to. Shouts to Mike and Becca. But I was so scared, dude.
Yeah.
I know how it was hard picking you up. And you weigh nothing. You're Becca.
I'm a taller Becca. Yeah.
You really are.
And shout out to Becca. Some people may not know. We're talking about Becca. Have you ever heard of the Corporate Gossip podcast?
That's right.
It pops up my TikTok all the time. She is one of the co-hosts.
Really tough for them to get ads because they prep on every business. So shouts to them. And
not us,
baby. We love you.
Capitalism for the win.
Buddy, of course. TravelToNorthKorea.com. Everybody.
welcome to the Cooligans, everybody. My name is Christian Polanco.
Hey, I'm Alexis Guerrero, and we're on.
That's right. We are on it. We're on the side of it.
Yeah, we're all over.
We're all over.
We're slowly grinding behind it.
Okay. We walk up to Yahoo and just, you know, twerk.
We make them cheeks clap. We make them claps cheek. I'm making no sense. We're trying. You tell me what that looks like and I'll do it, dude. If you can explain it to me, I'll do it.
Fun show in store for you today. We're going to be talking, obviously, the Champions League season.
Intros. I'm excited for today. Fun show.
Alexis is not excited. So it's my job to get him excited.
I just said I'm going to clap cheeks. Cheeks clap. Whatever I said. Obviously, I'm excited.
So we're going to be talking about the Champions League season. We'll talk a little bit about the Champions League, the final, but we did our post-game show with Stefano Fasaro. Alexis had called in, but Alexis was at a wedding.
I was
obviously.
At a wedding. I was in the woods.
Exactly. So if you want to hear.
I'm being told it was in the woods. If I have to worry about ticks, I'm in the woods. That's the rules. I don't care if it's Central Park. I'm in the woods.
Okay. So go listen to that episode if you want to hear our detailed reaction to the Champions League final with Stefano Fasaro. So go, it's on the feed. So go tune in. But we're going to look forward today with Champions League, CONCACAF Champions Cup.
We got a lot of cool stuff.
A lot of things. LAFC and Club America playing in the $10 million game.
Damn, cha-ching, dude. we got to get a cha-ching sound.
Where's the cha-ching sound? Who do we have to twerk on at Yahoo?
Buddy, we will. You think I won't cheap clap? Whatever it is. Let's start here because obviously we've had a fun time. But the season is now officially over with Champions League being decided. So let's look forward. Let's take a look at some of the big clubs that have qualified for next year's Champions League and decide what it is that they either need or what it is that they should be looking forward to.
Exactly. So we did this with the Premier League last week, but let's do it with the a couple Champions League clubs and what to look forward to. A little reflection.
Yeah, let's start with the winner, PSG. Christian, what are you thinking?
After watching that Champions League final, I'm going to say we might have a back-to-back Champions League winner because PSG were so unbelievably dominant. And it's hard. A 5-0 result makes it like, were PSG that good or were Inter Milan that bad?
And I think it's a mix.
It's a mix of both of those. You asked the question of Inter Milan, like, how the hell did he even get here? And to put in a performance like this. But PSG, with the dominance they showed, the confidence of not just their, you know, quote unquote star players, like even the everybody contributed. Who was the last guy who scored the fifth goal? Young player, he was like 18 or 19 years old.
I know who you're talking about.
An academy kid who came off the bench, but the way he was celebrating, like with the high gate, high kicks, and I'm just like, yo, why is everybody believing in themselves this much?
It felt like a training match at the end of the match. Yeah.
So it's like one of those, you know, when the academy team plays the first team, and
they start bodying them. They're a little
for rude awakening. Yeah. You know what I mean? But yeah, this is a PSG. I feel like they could be either in the final or win the whole thing even next season.
I'm on the same page as you. In fact, I think what I'm gonna say is, Enrique is the new Pep.
Hey.
Bro, this is it. Enrique is the new Pep, okay? put it to the soundtrack.
It's also Luis Enrique, not Enrique. His last name is not Enrique. His last name is something else, but he goes by Luis Enrique.
Oh, really?
You got to say the whole thing.
Okay, Luis Enrique is the new Pep then, because here's what I think. Not only is it back-to-back, I think he is ushering in a new style of football, a new era of football, right? We've been talking about how the Pep era seems to have kind of gone stale a little bit. Luis Enrique has done something incredible, and I think it started last season. When you see the clip of him talking to Mbappe saying, like, oh, you're a fan of Jordan? Jordan would grab the other defenders by the ball and say, you better defend. That's exactly. Look at the way he's gotten to these players. He's made every one of them believe, and the way he absolutely ripped apart Inter Milan, this was all under Luis Enrique's sort of vision. It's a beautiful thing. And shouts to the fans for the tifo with the daughter and him with the planting the flag, wearing the PSG
shirts.
But
let's say no shouts to the fans who completely destroyed Paris.
Look, I think we sit on separate sides here. I think to the victor goes the spoils. And if you drive a Dacia, buddy, I suggest you call your insurance company.
What the hell was that, bro? There was cars firebombed, and they're celebrating a PSG win.
Philly does this when they lose. You think PSG can't win?
You would think the winning. I mean, look, Philly, they do it. They eat horse poop on the street. And it's like, okay, I can. I mean, not my cup of tea, but
look at Europe taking a little American excellence.
But that was insane. Okay, there were like 600 arrests.
I would have loved to have been. I wish I was in Paris, man. I would have loved to have partied with y'all, bro.
Okay, let's move on to Inter.
Two people did pass away, though, by the way.
It's horrific. All right. So,
everything else I'm cool with.
Okay, I'm glad you clarified. We know where Alexis stands. All right, Inter Milan obviously loses in the final. For me, this is, and I've already been seeing a couple, Inter Milan fans, Inter Milan live streamers and watch alongs and stuff like that, that were saying that this was the most embarrassing moment they have ever experienced as a fan of this club. So this is, I'm sure there's, I haven't seen them. I haven't seen specific messages or anything.
But
from
what is your perspective?
They need to apologize. This is you have to apologize. It is that bad. Again, you provided all the incredible moments to get to that final and to put in a performance like that. An apology is necessary. It's like, and it might sound a little bit silly. I'm just a guy, a comedian who talks on a show and I make a bunch of ha-has and jokes. But this is, I'm like, I have to be like a little bit serious. Like, this was that bad that it has to be addressed in a serious manner.
This is a scar that will follow them forever.
Sure.
You're 100% right. An apology is needed. Major changes need to be done. People need to resign because of this match. And I don't know if that's players deciding to move on. I don't know if that's people within the coaching staff. I don't know if that's people within the front office. Heads need to kind of roll because of what this was. This was a generational embarrassment. This is, I don't know if you've seen the memes. You know, AC Milan and Juventus fans are holding funerals with, you know, Inter Milan painted caskets. They're walking around.
Yeah.
This is a scar that will follow them for a very long time. And for me, I'm saying retool. You need to retool. You need to go back to the drawing board. You were good enough to get here. You've embarrassed your entire organization. And this is an organization that goes back. Think about it, like Adriano and some of the greatest players of all time have played for Inter Milan. And now this is the stain that you've left.
Yeah.
Something needs to be done. You need to retool. So you need to kind of redo everything because this club can't look and feel the same way next year.
Sure.
After this massive, the worst loss in Champions League final history.
You need to get tools that are, you know, under 25 years old.
Yeah.
That's important.
Yeah. That's cool. Okay. I mean, they don't have to be tools, but again, the thoughts of Christian are executives of...
No! All right, next up, Liverpool.
I'm going to say do it in Europe, baby.
You're not impressed by Premier League victory.
Nah. And you know why? Because they ran away with it. But then in Europe, if you don't look as good in Europe, are you really that dominant? You've proven that you're a really dominant team. You've gotten even better. You've got Frimpong. It looks like possibly Verts if they can make a deal happen. You're getting better players in. Seems like you're building for the post-Salah era. Mm-hmm. Bruh, you need to do it in Europe. If you really want to be one of the biggest clubs in the world, and I know all the Premier League fans are like, oh, the Premier League is more difficult and that's the most important. Bruh, you got to do it on both fronts if you really want to be one of the biggest clubs in Europe. Liverpool stand on the chance to be that big of a club in this moment. Not to say they're not one of the biggest clubs in Europe. Yeah. At the moment, one of the most to be thought of at the same level of a Real Madrid, to be thought of at the same level of a Barcelona, and now possibly to even be thought of at the same level of PSG. Everyone in England calls them a Farmers League. Hey, bro, they did it in both.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's kind of the, you know, but my thought, I mean, now is the opportunity, especially with the signings that they are making. I think they can win it all. I mean, this is something where I feel like the goalposts always sort of move when, you know, they won, Liverpool fans, obviously wanting to win the Premier League for a long time. They won it a couple years ago, and now it was a COVID year, but it didn't really, like, people are like, asterisk, it's not really the same thing. And now they legitimately won it. And then even still, there's a like, oh, but there could have been more. And it's almost...
And there should have been more.
Winning your domestic league and then winning these cup competitions they require different mindsets. They require different preparation. You have to have the consistency to finish, to win during the season. But then you have to have a killer instinct to win in these knockout games and depth and something like that. So that's where they have to find the those little change. They don't need to change much, but if they possibly get Florian Wirtz, they obviously have Frimpong coming in. They seem like they're going to be a stronger squad than last season. That this is their opportunity to win it all, because that's with the signing. If they sign the people that are rumored to join that club, I think they can win it all, and they at the very least probably should be can win the whole thing. But that is going to be the standard for them to win the whole thing. All right, next up, Barcelona.
I'm going to go with Flick regression,
which sounds like a condition,
right? it also sounds like a soft core. It sounds like Skinamax.
Yeah.
You know, for those of you who remember,
you could have chosen any words, but that's what you went with.
That's the man's last name. Okay, I don't know if it's more of an action.
Okay,
I want to know how his great great grandfather got the name. To be honest with you, it was like, come on, baby. The housewives love me. What do you want? But for me, this is a Flick regression, simply because in the second season, Hansi Flick tends to be a regression. Teams kind of figure out, like, all right, if you're going to do highlight, then here's what we're going to do. I'm a little afraid. They have so much talent. They're going to be great. I don't know if they're going to be this great. And I feel like they might have missed an opportunity. Had they been in the final, they would have been the winner in Champions League. So I think we're going to see a little bit of a regression in international and domestic football for Barcelona, mainly because Hansi Flick has one way.
Okay, sure. Yeah,
I mean, he has a plan A.
I was waiting for that way.
He has a plan A. If plan A is not working, he's like, I will do plan A harder.
All right. You know? I'm going to flick harder? Damn, bro.
Always good advice.
I couldn't.
Regardless if they're saying stop or not, you know?
I couldn't disagree with you more. I think they are going to be finalists in the in next season's Champions League. I think they could. They won La Liga. They did it pretty convincingly. I think... And Lamine Yamal, which we saw that performance that he put against Inter Milan that they ended up losing, they got to sort out some defensive issues, that high line. But Lamine Yamal, I think he's going to carry them into that Champions League final next season. Because he is a generational player. He got a new contract till 2030?
Bro, what's his buyout clause? Like $2 billion?
Yeah. He's going to be there a long time, and I think he's going to be the difference.
He's putting on the number 10. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean...
Too much pressure?
Huge, huge fan. I mean, for him, he's fine.
He didn't even notice.
The other players are like, I don't want it. Give it to the child. all right. Real Madrid.
Real Madrid, for me, it's... Prove it, Mbappe. Damn. You move from Barcelona. I need to move... move from PSG.
Your ex is thriving.
I need to get out of here. I can't win with y'all fools. And then
you're holding me down.
Yeah, man. I need to breathe a little bit, bro. I need to lift trophy. And then
you won a lottery. Damn.
And then nothing.
Yeah.
And then they win.
Okay, I wouldn't say nothing. Let's not. But I understand what your point.
Come on, Champions League is you're going to Real Madrid.
Trophy list. Yeah,
yeah. You're going to Real Madrid. Champions League is the reason you go to Real Madrid.
Right.
To be the greatest player on earth, to be the best player in the game at the moment, and to go there and to see your old team with no major superstars win that trophy that you need, that your club has brought you in to win. Now you need to prove it. You're that guy. You move there to be that guy. Now you need to prove you're that guy. Hey, 40 goals in a season. You're an incredible player. Yeah. Clearly a great player. You need to prove that you can carry your team to that next level.
He's a leader. Yeah. That's a different conversation. For me, it's the culture change. So the culture change at Real Madrid, obviously, Carlo Ancelotti leaving, Xabi Alonso joining the club, having Trent Alexander-Arnold. They still probably need to sign one or two more players to really make a difference. But I think this is going to be positive, and this always seems to happen with every Real Madrid manager. 2-3 years, like you could, like again, Carlo, they won Champions League the previous season, and then it's like the next season it is.
I don't even know who this man is.
Toxic environment. Who? Why is this man here? Yeah. And it's just like, bro, it was just like a couple weeks ago, y'all were praising him.
The LA Galaxy of Spain,
and they hoping people are like hoping he never leaves, and that's kind of it. So this is something Real Madrid needs to do. It's similar to like. You know, the Yankees, like the manager lasts a little while, but then the environment boils to a point where you just need another person to reset.
It's exactly like the Yankees in the sense that like the manager doesn't really matter. It's what are you doing for the badge?
Right.
You know, where I guess wherever Xabi Alonso goes next in 3 years will be great.
Okay. Let's go
Arsenal. Why don't you go first?
I'm going to say, look, simply put, sign a striker and then talk to me because there is not much else I can say. I think they had a great Champions League run. They faced a PSG that we saw how dominant they were. The quality was just a little too much for Arsenal, but I don't think Arsenal that far behind. So that's it. If they're not going to do some work this summer to sign a real game-changing striker, don't talk to me. I don't want to hear about your ambitions to do whatever. Convince players to sign for your team. Tell them about the project. Get them excited. And they should see you as a contender and a potential location where they want to live their lives and have a great career. So that's my point.
Couldn't agree more. Arsenal were able to get 5XG against this PSG team.
You got a trophy for that?
Nope. They got 3 against us in that same match and scored 3 goals. We didn't score 5.
Yeah.
So I'm an Arsenal fan, obviously. So for me, I'm saying catch up. And the reason why I'm saying catch up is every team around you is getting even better.
I'm saying mustard, but bro, okay.
Damn. Let me relish in your conversation, in your topic.
I hate to make this a first take scream session.
You know?
It is what it is.
But put in the comments who's right. Who's topping this conversation? Whatchamacallit? I seriously think we need to Arsenal needs to catch up to the rest of the teams. It's not just about going out and signing a striker, which I agree with. You need a striker. If you had someone who's clinical, you would have been in the Champions League final, Arsenal.
Yeah.
You would have been there playing against Inter Milan. So catch up. Not only do you need to get back to where you should have been at the end of last season, you need to catch up to all the other teams around you that have retooled and gotten even stronger. And that begins with maybe solidifying that defensive midfielder position, moving away from a Partey, maybe getting someone on the left-hand side who isn't just an absolute black hole every time you pass him the ball, and Martinelli.
Martinelli slander.
I do got two sign, bro.
I was talking to Wilfred Padua, another comedian, and he's an Arsenal fan as well.
Massive Arsenal fan. Just to Wilfred Padua.
And that was one of the main things he mentioned. He was like, "Why does Alexis go after Martinelli so much?" He's like, he's pretty good.
Soft man, Wilfred Padua, bro.
hate to you know, put you on blast, Wilfred, but
son.
Okay.
So for me, yeah, it's catch up.
Got it. All right, next up, Man City. For me, especially next Champions League season, I'm expecting more of the same. I think they're going to struggle. I haven't any of the names that are reported to go to the team, I don't think are going to make that big a difference. I still think they're in a little bit of a transitional era. Kevin De Bruyne obviously leaving. Maybe that helps. Maybe it doesn't. I don't know. But I think it's going to be an odd season similar. I think they're going to still do well in the Premier League, but Champions League, I'm not expecting anything different.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. For me, I'm going to say falling behind because I think they are one or two clicks away from where they need to be in order to perform great. Look, they're still going to have Erling Haaland. I think he's still a great striker. He's probably going to have a better season. Rodri's coming back, so they're probably going to be even better. And they're going to have the, seemingly the one piece, that Jenga piece that collapsed everything. They're going to get that back. And if he can stay healthy for an entire season, they'll be better. But I think improvements need to be made both in tactics and on the pitch. And sort of at some point, you could be the greatest manager of all time and the voices in the room are tired of hearing the same story and the same advice and the same way of being inspired. We may be at an impasse with that, with Manchester City. I may be wrong, and they may be roaring to another victory next season. But for Champions League in particular, there needs to be another click needs to happen for them to get back to being the dominant force. And I don't think we're going to see that. So for me, I'm simply going to say, you may be falling behind again next season. Yeah, maybe as bad as this season.
They don't necessarily have a great history in Champions League. So I don't think...
I was there when they won it, though. I mean, that was a treble.
How many times did they fail? They failed quite a few times. So, all right.
That was a treble winning season. It's shocking how far they fell.
Next up, Chelsea. They, for me, back where they belong. I think the last, obviously them not playing in Champions League last season, probably had lit a fire under them. And I think I underestimate Chelsea quite a bit. And the young players, like, obviously, every time I hear like Liam Delap possibly going to Chelsea, I'm just like, part of me is like, why Chelsea exactly?
Bro, they got eight other guys in the position.
But there must be they obviously won the Conference League but they're like a young, exciting team. They're rough around the edges for sure, and they have players that just like maybe don't even belong. Like Sancho, there like. Doesn't really fit, but he had his moments as well. So that's kind
of. Did you hear they're talking to him about a new contract?
I figured. I mean, where's he going back to United?
No. Yeah, please. Yeah.
So I think Chelsea has a good the last 20 years in Champions League, always been fun to see, and I think they're going to go back to being another strong competitor in Champions League.
I agree. I feel like I agree with you that they're back to where they belong, but I'm simply going to say they're going to be out in the league phase.
I think
that there's still a little bit too much turmoil, and Enzo Maresca didn't necessarily end the season the way I expected him to.
Yeah.
So I think Cole Palmer's a great player. I think they've got really great players around them. Jadon Sancho, I think, can be one of those players that can sort of fit in this situation and help progress the team. But I still feel like they're missing a little bit of an identity right now. So for me, I think they're back where they belong. I think they're going to play well, but I think they may be out in the league phase or possibly the playoffs.
Yeah, the one thing that was noticeable from the first half of the season to second half was that Cole Palmer was just not the same guy. Like
He was being played in new positions.
Yeah, it was surprising. It was like we're talking about him being like kind of the best player in the Premier League to the last half of the season, he's just like, hopefully he gets like some goal contribution. So that was kind of wild. All right. Next up, Juve. What do you think?
Ooh, for me, need identity. Mm-hmm. Speaking of needing identity, this team is all over the place. I thought the Thiago Motta signing was great. Clearly didn't work out. I've spoken to a few of their fans, Massimo in particular, who owns Lindustry.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Materazzi was there, and he agreed with him, of course, because they're Italian. They're always going to defend each other. But they were like, he was like, no, we need to bring Allegri back. Allegri. I'm like, Allegri's anti-football. Like, this is the worst. It's so boring. Why would you want to watch that? And he goes, but we win. We go to the final. We win. And I'm like, that to me, you need to keep going in the Thiago Motta direction. Clearly, that's not what the front office wants.
Yeah.
Clearly, the front office wants to move in a different direction than that. What Thiago Motta was trying to do in Bologna. Well, at some point, you need to pick a direction. You need to pick an identity. What is Juve's identity? If you find that, then maybe you can do well in a competition like Champions League. Until then, you're going to constantly be just sort of be like, all right, maybe we'll do this now. Maybe we'll do that now. All right, Weston McKennie, maybe you're a striker today. Maybe you're the goalkeeper next week. At some point, an identity needs to be chosen, and you need to right this ship as opposed to just following wherever the wind takes you.
Yeah, I'll say I kind of think about Juve, what you were talking about with Chelsea. I don't think they get out of the league phase, even though they did well in Champions League this season. The last few months of the season were just wrought with so many draws. I believe they had the most draws in the season. Shout out, getting all the draws. I see how you do that.
You might want to talk to my boy Flick. You feel me?
Okay. So I think it might be a bit much. But yeah, I would love to be pleasantly surprised. I want to see Tim Weah thrive, and I want to see Weston McKennie do well as the American internationals there. But yeah, I think it might be a bit much for Juve. All right, last team in this group, and then we're gonna we'll do a part two later on. Talk about a couple others. But Bayern Munich, for me, they are they obviously lost to Inter Milan in this season Champions League. If they want anything different, they need to sign some players that give me some kind of different perspective. I don't know a team like Inter Milan that they could not break down really, and that they lost the first leg. This I haven't seen any. I haven't even really seen any names rumored that are going to really change the dynamic of this team.
You don't think Mitoma might be a good signing if that's real?
I think it'll be good. I don't think it's going to really change my mind that it's going to take them to the next level. But it won't hurt. So yeah. I don't know.
A healthy Alfonso Davies back.
Which wouldn't be until probably the winter, like after the winter break.
In, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So so as far as Champions League, do they get to the knockout phase? Yes. Do they do anything that impactful there? I'm not expecting that unless they sign somebody, some big name.
Yeah. I'm going to say Kane needs Europe at this point. Mm. You left Tottenham. They went on and won a continental competition.
Who is he, Napoleon, bro? Yeah.
Damn, bro.
Why?
The winter, bro. That's when they get you. But Harry Kane's getting older, and he is the type of player that deserves a major, major, major trophy. And I've said this before. You know, as someone who's not a Tottenham fan in any way, shape, or form, I look at this player as a generational talent. Mm-hmm. He is the type of player that should be lifting a Champions League trophy. And in this, you need this to sort of solidify your stance. Yes, you won Bundesliga. Winning Bundesliga with Bayern Munich is like losing your virginity at a brothel. Okay. I mean, did you really work for it, though? Did you really do anything? You know what I mean?
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Wow.
All the Bundesliga employees listening are like, well, excuse me, Alex.
But I mean, they've won it, 12 out of the last 13 seasons?
Yes,
like,
yes.
I'm not that impressed. Show me something in Europe. And that leads to exactly what you were saying, which is build some players around this guy that can get him that trophy. I think Vincent Kompany needs it as well for where his stance is. I think as a manager, it's still a little bit soft ground. I don't think he's really solidified himself as the perfect choice for Bayern Munich. Yeah, you won Bundesliga, but you got to prove it in Champions League. It was really weird that they got bumped out by a Dutch team. So now, can you prove that you could be better? Did they get bumped out by a Dutch team? Who bumped out Bayern Munich?
No, that was Inter Milan. Inter.
Well, Inter. That's right.
Yeah.
To get bumped out by Inter Milan, who ends up going to the final? But you are a much better team.
Sure.
Then you would have done a lot better than what Inter Milan did in this final, in the final. So,
all right.
Prove it. Get Harry Kane a European trophy.
We shall see. All right. I just want to give a shout out to the woman I lost my virginity with, Luscious Deluxe. Hey. She was lovely. You are special to me.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. Would you fight her in the back of a phone book?
All right, we're gonna talk some MLS.
That sounds like a chocolate candy, dude.
she's great. Does great work.
Damn.
Okay. All right.
Left me sticky, bro.
we'll be right back after this. Club World Cup is coming soon, but there was a match that was pretty exciting. That was basically like a $10 million match between LAFC and Club America. So
this was like a final.
This is like a rare type of game, like a single game playoff.
Yeah,
similar like the way we would have when Serie A, the top two are tied on points.
Right.
Just have this one game that all of a sudden means
wins everything
more than ever.
But this is to get in a competition that guarantees you at least 10 million, basically. It's like 9.7 million
or whatever. So they scheduled this game for May 31st, and it all happened because Club León of Liga MX was kicked out because of the Pachuca is also in
part of the tournament. Owns both teams. Yeah.
So they had this game,
Club América versus LAFC.
And the game being held at BMO Stadium. And where did Club America play? They play in Mexico City?
They play in Mexico City. La Azteca.
Right? It might have as well been the Azteca. This was yellow.
Yeah.
Full yellow.
Except for 32-52.
And you would imagine that a lot of LAFC fans probably are also Club America fans, right?
It might have been like 32-48. You know what I mean? There was like a couple guys who were like, hey, man, I don't know. My family's big. Club America.
I picked a side a long time ago. Yeah. LAFC haven't been around that long.
But I love y'all, but these are my people.
But an exciting game. I mean, usually you would imagine imagine games like this would be very, very, they're obviously very nervy. But we got
so there's a lot on the line.
A lot on the line. And but I loved that more than anything. There were the first half wasn't too much going on, but in the second half and extra time.
Well, boxers was throwing jabs, waiting for somebody to make a mistake. Second and half, they're like, all right, we need to start swinging.
Yeah, so Markey, the guy who committed a penalty, Kulomenko scored first, but a late header from Igor Jesus, and you can see how much it meant to him to tie that game.
Because look how much it meant to the other players on the team and his teammates. They like embrace them. I wonder, in such an
are they excited
way.
About playing the Club World Cup or winning $10 million? Like,
you can win a lot more. The winner gets $100 million.
Yeah, there's a lot at stake. But that is, I wonder.
That's Champions League level.
I wonder how much pressure you play under, right? Because it's not solely just any other game. You're playing a Mexican opponent. You want to win. I'm sure there's a lot of bragging rights, but the money in itself, the ludicrous amount of money, is also what makes it like, okay, well, if you could, because
Will Ferrell's texting you, we need this,
bro. I'm struggling.
Natalie Portman is like, get on it. Is she one of the owners or is she Angel City?
Angel City. Okay, yeah. I'm sure. Why?
There's like 50 celebrity owners, man.
But no,
Nomar Garcia Parra.
LAFC winning this game in extra time. Buanga gets the goal, the game-winning goal. Just
what a throwback moment for Olivier Giroud. Reminded me of the Arsenal days. That goal with him and Wilshere against Norwich, where they're back and forth.
Right.
It used to drive me absolutely nuts. Giroud with the little like one-touch layoff.
Mm-hmm.
What a beautiful moment for this to have. He learned all the mistakes he made at Arsenal.
It's like the 115th minute, and then he's just like,
he puts his hands up, lays the ball off. Yeah, he said, go ahead, do it, Papa.
Very unlucky deflection for Club America, but it worked out.
Hey, you got to score the goal. The ball went in the back of the net. And what a massive moment for LAFC. What a massive moment for Girondolo. What a massive moment for MLS to get an extra team in Club World Cup.
Yeah, yeah.
I almost called it Glue World Cup. there's so many clubs and clubs. That's
all fun. Both are fine. So congrats to LAFC. The big moment. And then really cool for Olivier Giroud, because he was talking about this before the game. It was like the group that LAFC are in and would have been in is the group with Chelsea. So Olivier Giroud gets to play his old club in the Club World Cup. So just a nice little story.
Does he celebrate if he scores?
I mean, well, he's not going to score. But
maybe a free kick? Seems to be the only way.
Respectfully. Hopefully that. Anyway, I do want to talk about this before we move on, because the Sounders played a game against Minnesota United, and in the warm-up for the game, they were all wearing training tops that said Club World Cash Grab.
And this is great context, because MLS teams being allowed into something like this brings to light the difficulties within a single entity system.
Right.
Because when Club America gets in, that's their money.
Yeah, exactly.
But MLS team's getting in, MLS is getting the money.
They say, we're going to hold it in escrow.
Yeah, yeah. No, we got it.
We got it.
Listen, buddy, you need it. You come to me. You write on a piece of paper how much you need. I'm going to let you borrow it in those moments. But you don't need all of it right now, bro.
Exactly.
What you going to do with it? I got you. It's safe in my hands. So this is the movie The Professional, by the way, which had Natalie Portman in it.
Yeah.
By the way, come on. I was happy that I found a way to connect those.
Anything with Natalie Portman, Alexis, is quiet.
Maybe girl, don't watch. But all of a sudden, this calls the question is like, wait, we keep talking about these clubs making all this money, the $10 million. How's that getting split? We always think of it as like, the club is making it. That means you could go buy better players. But the player's like, wait, hold on. I don't know if you noticed, we're the ones running around for about 90 minutes. We get a little bit of that, scratch our backs a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. So
and now Seattle players, I guess, aren't happy with the way the split's going to go down. Because, supposedly it's being taken from an older CB, maybe?
Older CBA, yeah. CBA, they put, the MLSPA put out
an older center back?
They put out a statement, and basically every MLS player has shared it in showing support for the Seattle Sounders and the statement that they made. Because the front of the shirt said Club World Cash Grab, the back of the shirt said Fair Share, and the statement basically highlighted that yes, FIFA is paying, FIFA is paying Major League Soccer, and the players have to negotiate what they would be their agreement of what is the cut for the players themselves.
And right, because this is an exceptional tournament. This is something that would have been taken into account in the CBA negotiation.
Correct. So this is, so they feel like it is not fair, and that is why they're making that statement. So it's interesting, again, because we don't know exactly how it works for every club in the world, but you would imagine that, like, yes, that the $10 million prize for qualifying goes directly to the club, and you're negotiating with the club. The players are, like, deciding with the club what the share should be, not the league.
Right.
So that's why they're upset with how the negotiations have gone. So, you know, props to the Sounders for making that known. Because it is, even before when the Club World Cup was announced, this new format of it, players were not happy. Roger was one of the main ones that was like, why are we playing even more of these games?
Calendar congestion and match congestion is a real thing. I'm sure these players want to compete against some of these teams, and I'm sure these players want to win a competition like anyone else. Specifically, something that now feels like a lot more important than it used to feel because of the amount of teams involved and whatnot, and the amount of money that it could help your club. It could change. This would change an almost club's history to win $100 million if they were to win it. But you gotta put that money in the players' pockets. Who is some of it? You gotta. What's the word I'm looking for? Like, you have to, a credible amount of money should be given to those players for the value, for the amount of stress that they're going to put their bodies under.
Yeah, and usually, like, I think of, like, NBA.
You really didn't help me there, by the way. I'm like, what's the word?
He's like, I don't know what word.
Like, I don't even know what the hell you're saying.
NBA, I always hear, like, I remember Dwayne Wade talking about the CBA in the NBA, and it's like the TV revenue share and stuff like that. And that was like, it was like, it used to be like 50-50, and then it might be like at 70-30 or something close to that. Mm. And that when I think of just, you know, the getting paid for the amount of work that the league would not exist if it wasn't for the players that are putting the product on display. So I'm like, part of me is just like, just pay them. What do you need? You didn't expect the money. Yeah. Right. You didn't expect it. What are you holding on to it for?
Right. I said 50-50. Let the players keep half. Let the team keep the other half.
I would say more. For me, at the very least, 60-40. I'd say the players.
You know what? I'll accept that. See? How hard was that?
Look at that. Okay. let's move on to MLS and talk about a couple of the games from over the weekend. Inter Miami playing Columbus Crew, this time at home.
Wow.
But now they put a 5 spot on.
Columbus Crew been losing for a minute, too.
It's a little odd.
What's going on there, bro?
Not used to this. I understand losing. Losing 2-1, 3-1. Like, you understand that you're gonna have a tough game from time to time, but 5-1 is not what we're used to seeing from Wilfred Nancy.
Also, we've talked about this, right? Wilfred Nancy, tactically sound. He's probably the best tactician in the league. A lot of people would say, I think I would agree with that as far as manager is concerned. But to not figure out that Messi's running in behind your back line for a 5-1 is really difficult to sort of take. I'm like, what's going on with Columbus Crew, where Mascherano was like, I don't know, hit it over their back line. They're playing a high line. Let's see if that works. I think that's exactly what's going to happen to Hansi Flick next season, by the way. To me, I was just like, this is pretty simple. You know, I don't think this is like some major, you've got Busquets, you've got Messi, and you've got, what's his name, Allende? Yeah, I mean, obviously these guys are smart enough to be able to get in behind the back line, and they're seemingly doing it over and over again. I was shocked the way this game went.
Yeah, so Inter Miami, they have 12 goals in their last 3 games. And more than anything, Messi's looking like Messi. Yeah, there was just a long stretch.
Yeah, chip on his shoulder, bro. He's got something to prove.
Getting maybe knocked out of Champions Cup, losing in what I would say is embarrassing fashion for the players that are on that team. And it probably could have been a little bit of fixture congestion. They were playing a lot of games in a short amount of time at the beginning of the season, right? Like, this is the issue kind of with MLS, that I believe some Champions Cup games start before the season starts. So it's a difficult situation. You're not at full fitness.
And I always say, I don't think the first 10 matches matter, but we're at the point now where these games matter, bro. There's 17 games left in the season.
Totally.
So now these all matter. So to see him getting back into top form is pretty good.
Yeah. So it's even if you're not a fan of Inter Miami, it's like, fine. I'm like, if Inter Miami lose, I'm sure that's like a lot of people are happy about that. But like, you still want to see Messi do. I still do. Look, I want to see him play well.
I took so much crap for this the last time I said it. And yeah, I'm going to double down. Right? I'm 10 toes. It's better for the league if Messi's doing well.
Okay.
It's better for the sport in this country.
I love it. I love it. All right. And also, We've been talking about this kind of ad nauseum, and people, we've literally gotten messages from people that say, stop talking about the LA Galaxy. They keep losing. I don't want to hear more about it. And now we can maybe put it to bed a little bit.
Mm.
LA Galaxy win a game.
About damn time, bro.
They win against RSL at home 2-0. A clean sheet.
A clean sheet.
For the Los Angeles Galaxy.
Bro, I don't even know these mans. Is it too late, though?
I mean, it is. It's very late.
It's very late. Is it too late, though? I don't know. I think it's difficult for me to think of him. And I know MLS wrap-up guys said the same thing. It feels like they need to string together a bunch of wins.
Mm-hmm.
Without reinforcements, I don't see how they do that. I think a couple bounces went their way, in particular Pansel's first goal, where the defender sort of flicks it. It kind of flicks on.
Yeah.
I mean, finally, they're getting a lucky bounce, where it feels like the lucky bounce have been going against them for the last few matches. But can they string together a bunch of three-point wins? I don't see that happening enough to get into the playoffs. And without LA Galaxy, to go from winning the MLS Cup to not even getting in the playoffs is rough, especially when you consider that the manager's been handed the best contract in the league and an extension. It's very confusing as to where they are right now.
So LA Galaxy are on 7 points. The next closest team is St. Louis with 14.
Yeah.
Even that alone. I'm like, you mentioned, like, could they get into the playoffs? Yeah, but like, could they get to 14th at the end of the season?
At this point, LA Galaxy should consider this a successful season if they don't win the wooden spoon.
Wow. Yeah. Just
well, focus on that, boys.
Two trophies back to back. I don't know.
They could have a break for not winning the wooden spoon. They should be literally holding nothing.
We didn't do it.
Hey, like, hey. Confetti.
Confetti.
The confetti needs to be old gray.
It's like when when FIFA used to glitch and there would be nothing in their hands.
Bro, as an Arsenal fan, the fourth place trophy, always the meme.
Bro, but congrats. Finally, the Cooligans bump is in effect.
Hey, we told you.
Everybody it was happy. It takes, sometimes you just take, it's like medicine that has that has a time release.
Yeah. Yeah. So, we told you to cut the pill in half and to mix it with the fat.
So just a couple other NYCFC drew to Nashville FC, which
Nashville also like barnstorming right now. Nashville did playing really well.
Yeah, so that was a good comeback, a good result for them.
Sure. And I think what's his name, Walker Zimmerman, not only back on the pitch, but he's just got added to the Gold Cup squad.
Yeah, Gold Cup. It's funny. There were a few changes in the Gold Cup roster, and
a couple injury
and stuff like that. But
Flair and Balogun out.
I know that's the one that is like it's interesting because because of Pulisic not playing, McKennie, Way, all these players. There's a little bit of apathy to this roster.
I was like, a little B squad.
Just like. All right. Okay, Walker, cool. But like,
yeah.
I was already disappointed.
Yeah.
So I don't know what Gold Cup is going to look like. We're going to be doing a bunch of preview shows for the Gold Cup.
So we're going to find out what it looks like.
Yeah. And I'll talk about this more on Thursday. But since we're talking about Gold Cup and we're about to go to the next segment. But June 14th, Dominican Republic is opening the Gold Cup against Mexico, and your boy is quite thrilled. But I'm going to be hosting a watch party, and I'll give out more details. It's going to be in Washington Heights, in New York. Every Dominican person hit them with all the que lo que is, hit them up and let them know. DR against Mexico in Washington Heights. We want it to be something super super dope and exciting, and Dominicans getting involved in this game.
Bro,
and
this is
sport.
It.
Let's
show the world that Dominicans belong in the conversation.
Exactly.
Soccer.
And when it comes to parties, this is we built for this.
This should be called the Party Watcher, is that right? The
Party Watcher. Party Wayo.
Gold Cup Party Wayo. Because this is going to be a huge moment for Caribbean soccer as a whole.
Exactly.
If you are Caribbean, even if you're not, if you've ever met a Dominican person, you need to make your way. What is it?
What?
June 14th?
June 14th.
At what time?
10 p.m. Eastern.
Bro, you ain't got nothing else to do the next day, bro.
Yeah, you probably going to go to a club and party anyway. Just come hang out with me.
Bro, let's go. Chimmies for me and all my homies.
So join us as we defeat Mexico in the Gold Cup. We shots fired. We shall see. I mean, it would be monumental.
It would be a parade would happen immediately with spontaneous.
And then I think you know, Mexico would have to break off of North America. And
Mexico would do. Like, Mexico fans would do to Mexico what PSG fans did to Paris if they lose to DR.
Bro, let's go. All right,
it would be huge.
We're gonna take one quick break and then do some rapid reactions. There's a lot of transfer talk, and so we'll react to them right after this.
All right, welcome back. Let's do a couple rapido reactions, baby. Carter, what you got for me, papa?
All right, so here we go. We got five. They're not all transfers, but they are all summer window related. So the first one here, Cristiano Ronaldo has left Al Nassr. And where should he go to you know, play in the Club World Cup, hopefully? And just which is his next team here?
So here's the interesting detail. For the Club World Cup, teams are allowed to sign players for just 3 months.
Including MLS clubs.
Yes. So they can sign free agents to play in the Club World Cup. My guess is, I'm sure FIFA is like, hey, Cristiano, I know you. I mean, you know, Pachuca's great this time of year. You know what I mean? Like,
No. If we're going to do it, let's do it. Enter Miami.
I mean,
what are you talking about? Okay. Enter Miami.
I was trying to be mildly realistic.
Enter Miami signs Cristiano Ronaldo to play along Messi for the first time in history. It's free for the whole world on DAZN. If you're going to do it, if you are who you say you are, FIFA, you make this happen.
Wow.
I'm not even a Ronaldo guy, but you want the world to care about this tournament? Cristiano Ronaldo and Lionel Messi on David Beckham's Inter Miami with $100 million on the line.
I mean, who's going to take? Fafa Pico spot? No, it's not happening.
Let's not go crazy.
Let's not get crazy. You gotta bench somebody else. Yeah. All right. We'll see. I think it'll be a Club World Cup team, and I think he'll be playing in the Club World Cup. All right. What's up next?
All right. Florian Wirtz he's looking likely to join Liverpool.
Inter Miami.
No, okay. Sorry. does he fit in this team, or should he look to go somewhere else?
I'm gonna say. Yes, I do think he fits in the team. But I do think he's a player that can fit on several different rosters. The surprising thing to me is like, not why would he pick Liverpool, but it seems like his services are very sought after.
Yeah,
and Liverpool. So I'm just like thinking about like
Liverpool's one of the clubs.
It's a great club. Yeah. I mean, but as far as like places to live. There might be other options that he might enjoy a little bit more.
I'm going to co-sign that, if we're being honest. But I think back to the video of Jeremy Frimpong going, you're right, lot, or whatever, scouser accent. And he said, they kind of went back and forth, a little scouse, you know what I mean? So
scouse is up, scouse right? is up.
So I'm thinking Liverpool seems like it, but I still say this is the perfect player for Xabi Alonso to bring with him to Real Madrid. So as far as I'm concerned, this feels to me like he's a Real Madrid player. And like they always say, Real Madrid only calls once. Yeah. You got to answer the call.
Versus at Liverpool also does seem a little, not that it necessarily wouldn't work.
What would he take like, over where Harvey Elliott like, played more, at the end of the season?
I'm just surprised at like the amount of money that is apparently, what 130?
The rumor is 130 million euros.
The fact that Liverpool would even spend
no,
that.
That they said no.
Which is, it's insane that Liverpool said yes to that number and that Leverkusen would say
they
no to
spent
that.
They spent 100 on, what's his name, Darwin Nunez. They got it.
That worked out well. All right.
All right, next year, another creative midfielder here. Kevin De Bruyne is looking like he's going to join Napoli. Is this the right fit under Antonio Conte's Napoli for him to join there?
It doesn't matter. It's Kevin De Bruyne.
Yeah, it's
if you're Antonio Conte, you find a way to play. If you can make Scott McTominay look like that, you're going to be all right.
Yeah, yeah. This is a more than anything, I'm just like, I think it would fit just fine. Kevin De Bruyne is such a dynamic player and is just going to pretty much make everybody else around 100%. Him better. But I'm like,
the rumor is he's not even being asked to play all the games. Like, he doesn't have to travel as much with the team. So I mean,
Greg Berhalter, get on the phone. Tell him he only has to play 3 to 9 games. And get him over here.
Put him all. You got Soldier Field. You got an NFL stadium.
Get him over here, man.
He only has to play against Inter Miami.
So I mean, like, I guess living closer to home, living closer to Belgium, probably is a big factor in his family and stuff.
All
like
those flights are short.
Napoli's also. It's interesting. Napoli is pretty intense when it comes to for their supporters and stuff like that.
Also, Napoli becoming the new Juventus, right? Juventus used to be the team that won it every year. Napoli might be on their way. Kevin De Bruyne is a big, big signing. Sure. And on a free.
Yeah. Yeah. Crazy. So, it would be fun to see him there, but come on, bro. Europe has had him long enough. Get him over to Major League Soccer. All right. What's up next?
You broke our bell.
You broke the bell, Carter.
All right. Next year, Ange Postecoglou's Tottenham future is going to be decided this week. Should Tottenham keep him, move on from him? And if move on, who should they move on to?
Buddy, flip a coin. The guy stunk all season, but then won you your first trophy in, what was it, almost 20 years, 17 years, 17 Carter?
17 years.
17
what
years?
What was the trophy that they won 17 years
the
ago?
The Carabao Cup.
Ah, okay.
Or we used to be called the Carling Cup back then, I believe, right?
Gotcha, yeah. Okay.
So, again, for first real major trophy since they won the league in, before England won the World Cup. So, I think it's true, actually. I honestly don't know. I think Ange is the right guy. I think he's a great manager. I think he's proven it in ways. I just think the team that he was given and really the team that he put together didn't play well throughout the whole season, but he found a way to win a knockout tournament. But if he wins every time he's in his second season, he didn't say nothing about his third or fourth. So maybe now's the time to move away from him. Let someone else have a two-season wait.
The question being, should Tottenham keep him or move on? I would maybe switch it up. Should Ange move on or stay with Tottenham? I think it's up to him.
You're doing that. I don't break up with you. You don't break up with me. I break up with you.
Right. This has been such a kind of toxic situation, especially with the media. I mean, I think after winning the Europa League and hearing the players speak positively about him, I don't think the locker room is totally lost and stuff like that, but the results are the results. And there's some players that are like, yeah, even the players might be, yes, we won. We're going to be playing in Champions League, but is he the guy that's going to be leading us there? You know, I think there's enough of a rift and enough issues that I wouldn't be shocked if he did leave. So, all right.
Is there anything else?
There's one more. This one's for you, Christian. I mean, ooh. Alexis, we want your take as well, but
mute Alexis's mic.
I don't even need to be here right now.
Christian, your boy, Junior Firpo, is out of contract with Leeds United. Leeds are still hopeful to keep him. They are in negotiations to have him sign a new contract.
You can't leave a Dominican.
But, but Lyon...
I'm surprised he's not playing for three other teams on the side.
But Lyon and AC Milan both are in talks with him as well to sign him on a free. Where would you want him to go?
Think about where you want a vacation when he becomes your best friend.
This is interesting because I really want to see Firpo back in the Premier League. I think that is his level. I think Leeds, their first time around when he was there just was really just disappointing, and the team was not good enough. But he is like a fan favorite. I love seeing the fact that they love him. And to have a Dominican player in the Premier League would just be really, really dope. Seeing the links, AC Milan, I think would be a good fit. I don't, because they're not in Champions League. Not to say that Firpo he's a Champions League caliber guy, but he was at Barcelona. Mm-hmm. He was at Real Betis. He's played in European competitions. So that part of it, Lyon, did they qualify for Champions League?
Don't believe so.
Oh, okay. Or Europa, anything? We'll confirm. Yeah. I think he's 28 years old.
This is a big move. Career-wise, you're at that time.
Dominican Republic, obviously Gold Cup coming up.
Europa League.
Europa League. Yep. World Cup competition, qualification. Can DR qualify to the World Cup out of CONCACAF? That's all. I just want the best for him. I don't necessarily have a strong opinion on where he goes, but my preference would be Leeds.
Nice. Well, I don't care where he goes as long as he's playing top flight.
Okay.
I think that's important. I think he is of that ilk.
Sure. All right. All right. That's it.
If he was Cuban, I'd say Arsenal. I think we could really use.
What if a Cuban player signed for Arsenal and then was not good? And wasn't good? How would you balance that.
I would just tell everyone he's injured. That's not his fault, bro. You got, Castro is ruining this man's future.
So another had happy reaction in the book. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in for another episode of the show. We appreciate it. We'll be back on Thursday with a brand new banger. We'll talk about some other Champions League clubs and everything. Also, happy Pride Month. Do
absolutely
your thing. Show.
Shouts to everybody who listens, who is LGBTQ+. Hangs Out. That's a new subscription that they have. you gotta sign up.
That's right.
You get no ads. It's kind of cool. But shouts to everyone who is from or in any way, shape, or form marginalized community. Yeah, you have a home here with us.
Exactly. Because sadly, lots of administrations, different countries are trying to erase, I think, a lot of the progress that a lot of people, especially in the LGBTQ plus community, have done. So we still got to be loud and proud as possible in that support. All right. As always, make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans on everything. Hit the like button, subscribe, do whatever you got to do. Follow us on Blue Sky at SoccerCooligans.com, and we'll be back on Thursday with a brand new one. All right. We'll see you then, everybody. Peace.
Love you guys.